Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone, my brothers, my sisters. Happy Sabbath to all of you. I try to get in through my computer. For some reason, it just keeps closing down on me. So I'm using my iPhone. But anyways, I hope that the message goes through clearly, and I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. But I also think that this is a message that God placed in my heart for each one of you this morning. So I'd like to thank God for this opportunity of sharing the word of God with you. Hopefully next time I'll be able to do it, visiting your church and just being there in fellowship with you all. But I'd like to thank Pastor Mendoza also for inviting me. And the Lord placed on my heart Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. And the title that I wanted to, I chose for my sermon is Relax, because God is in charge. God is in control. Or some of us may be asking our question, is he really in control? And as each one of us read the scriptures, we find that the God that we serve, he's a sovereign God. He is in complete control over all that happens, not only on this earth, but also of all that happens in this whole universe. And when you and I know that the Almighty, the all-powerful God that you and I serve, the all-knowing God, he is in control. When we know that he is in control, that puts us at ease. And it's just a wonderful feeling being able to trust in God. Remember the song we sing in church, "This So Sweet to Trust in Jesus"? I wish I could sing it for you. If I try, I know you would turn me off, so I don't want to risk it. Let me just read a few stanzas for you. "This so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad," the other stanza says, "I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me and he will be with me to the end." And you know, my brothers and sisters, that conviction, that belief that God is in full control over everything that happens on this world should put us all at ease. You know, if David, who wrote the Psalms, if he was here, he would see what we're going through in this world and see what's happening in our world today. He would look at each one of us and he would say to all of us, brothers and sisters, relax, because God is in charge. He is in control. Relax, because if everything seems to be going down, it's because God is up to something. And you know, that's the message that David is presenting to us through Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. Let me read that text to you. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. "Do not fret." The word "fret" also means worry. "Do not worry because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Then in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him." So this sermon could also be titled David's Four Steps to Perfect Peace. Number one, he says, don't worry. Number two, he said, trust in the Lord. Number three, he said, delight yourself in the Lord. And step number four, to perfect peace, he said, commit your way to the Lord. So I want us to look at these four steps to perfect peace that David prescribed to each one of us, for each one of us this morning. First of all, he said, fret not, or worry not. The word "fret" means worry. So David is saying, do you want God's peace in your life? Do you want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? Do you want the peace that the world cannot give, that peace that the world cannot take away? Then This is what you must do. David speaking. He says, don't worry over what's happening in our world today. Yes, there are things you and I need to do, but worry is not one of them. Worry won't help you change anything. And my brothers and my sisters, time after time in scriptures, Jesus said, don't worry, fear not. For example, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34, he said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the earth. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? In verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, these are very encouraging words, aren't they? That's why I love the reading of the scriptures. The Bible is more precious than gold, more precious than silver. Reading the scriptures is sweeter than honey, the Bible says. And God is speaking to each one of us this morning here through David, through this psalm, Psalms 37, saying, relax, God is in charge. Do not fret, do not worry. Well, some of you may be asking, Pastor, how can we not be worried? Aren't you watching the news? Yeah, I'm watching the news too, but maybe if we spend more time reading God's word, we would be less worried, less preoccupied. Now, let me tell you something that I know about worry. Worry is interest paid on trouble long before it happens. Let me repeat that. Worry is interest paid on trouble long before it happens. Remember, an old man once said to me, Pastor, most of the worries that I had in my life, they never happened. So it's foolish to worry about things beyond our control. People worry about many things. They worry about the future. But I ask myself, why should I worry about the future? You and I know, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds our future. And his name is Jesus. He is in control. So why is it that we worry so much, so often? You know, I believe the problem is we see things through a knot hole. When I was a boy, the circus would come to town, and I didn't have any money. My parents didn't have any money to give me to go to the circus and watch the program. So I would look for a hole around that big old tent. It was an old tent. So I would find a hole to look through. And I couldn't see everything but one thing at a time. I saw one horse at a time. I saw one clown at a time. And you know, I believe that we humans, that's how we see things in life. But God is a God from everlasting to everlasting. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. Jesus is here to tell you and to tell me. He's here to tell each one of us, I can see the whole picture. I am in control of your life. I will be with you always. Until the end, don't fret, don't worry. So what are we going to do then? If God is constantly telling us not to worry about anything, what are we to do? How can we defeat the worry that usually or regularly comes into our lives? Well, the Word of God has a wonderful advice to give to each one of us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it reads, "Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So what are we to do? Paul is saying, when worry comes your way, this is what you're supposed to do. Instead of spending your time worrying, pray to God. And pray a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of supplication. And then on verse 7, notice what it says. When you do that, worry will disappear, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So my dear brothers, my dear sisters, bring your problems to the Lord, your concerns, your anxieties, your worries. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Matthew explained it this way in Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Curry Ten Boom, she once said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you look at God, you will be at rest." Don't you want to be at rest? Spend time alone in the presence of God, reading His Word, being attentive to the voice of His Holy Spirit. And when you do that, I can guarantee you, you will hear His voice saying to you, "Be at rest. I'm with you. Do not worry. I will be with you all the days of your life until the end." You know the text here, Psalms 37, verse 1 says, "Do not fret, do not worry over evildoers." Have you ever noticed that at times it seems that everything is going well for the evildoers, those who break the law, those who, are drug pushers? And David says, don't worry about them, because they're like the grass. They will be cut down. Here at my house, I do the lawn of my house once a week. And sometimes one of the things that grass knows is that sooner or later, it will be cut down. The wicked, David says, they are like grass, not a mighty oak, but grass. And grass is fragile, grass is weak. And when it's cut down, it dries and it becomes hay in a matter of hours. If you break the law of God, you will be like grass. You will be cut down. But the message here, David is saying, do not worry, not only about the evildoers. Do not worry about what you need. Do not worry about the future. Do not worry about the things that are happening in our world today. But instead, and this is step number 2 to perfect peace, we find it there in verse 3, says, trust in the Lord. Notice one thing. It doesn't say trust in your bank account. It doesn't say trust in your money. It doesn't say trust in your strength or your career. It doesn't say trust in your wisdom or your educational degrees. But instead, it says, put your trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the pandemic that we're going through right now, may God help us to always trust in him. He's a sovereign God. He is in control. John 16:33 says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So my brothers, my sisters, even if your life has turned upside down, even when you lose your health, even when you lose your job, even when you end up losing a loved one, I want to assure you, God is still sitting on his throne, and he's promised to be with you all the days of your life. He's promised to walk through the fire with you. He will send manna to feed you. He will divide the Red Sea for you. He will save you, and he will bring healing to your body. Trust in the Lord always. Never lose faith, your faith in God. So secret number one to perfect peace is do not worry. Instead, spend time praying to the Lord. Secret number two, trust in the Lord. Have faith in God. But step number three to perfect peace says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, how do we do this? I'm excited about sharing this with you. But, you know, what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? You know how I do it? I do that by rehearsing the victories that God has given me in the past. Yeah, that's how I do it. By rehearsing the victories that God has given me in the past. I remember when I didn't have any money to go to college, and God impressed someone who knew my need. And on a Sabbath morning, that person approached me and gave me a big stack of money, lots of cash. And he said, Antonio, here is this money. I know what you need. You need to go to college. Here's this money. See you on Monday at school. What a blessing. And I keep remember those events that I went through and how God blessed me. That's how you remember the victories of the past. Another way of delighting myself in the Lord for me is to remember when God delivered me from dying in a car accident. God spared my life, and I praise God for that. Or to remember how God delivered me from the attacks of the enemy. That's what delighting yourself in the Lord means. You know, David, who wrote this psalm, he knew what it meant to delight himself in the Lord. Remember the story when David was getting ready to fight Goliath? King Saul didn't believe David should fight the giant. So David, he tries to convince the king. And what did David do? He rehearsed the victories that God gave him in the past. And he said to the king, oh, king, God has always been with me. King, God is with me right now. And he said, the Lord gave me the victory over the lion. And God is going to give me the victory again today. David also said to the king, king, God gave me the victory over the bear. And God will do it again. He's going to help me fight and defeat this giant. Rehearsing the victories of the past. So if you're going through difficult times in your life right now, I encourage you to delight yourself in the Lord by rehearsing the blessings and the victories that God has given you in the past. Once you do that, you will rest assured that God will give you the victory over the problems that you're facing today. Ellen G. White, on one of her periodicals, Life Sketches, page 196, she said, there is nothing to fear for the future unless we forget how God has led us in the past. Nothing to fear about tomorrow unless we stop rehearsing the victories that God gave us in the past. What she's saying is, remember, don't forget, rehearse those victories God has given you in the past. Delighting yourself in the Lord, it means just that. But I'd like to add another element to it. To me, delighting myself in the Lord not only means rehearsing the victories that God gave me in the past, but also having a song in my heart. Remember when you were with Pathfinders, the Pathfinder Law number 7 says, I will keep a song in my heart. Now, let me tell you something, and please pay a lot of attention to this. One of the greatest weapons that we as Christians have to defeat the attacks of the enemy, you know what it is? Singing. It is singing. Don't ask me how it works. It does work. Singing praises to the Lord. It works. One of the greatest weapons we as Christians have to defeat the attacks of the enemy is when we sing praises to the Lord. Steps to perfect peace. David said, do not worry. Instead, pray prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of supplication. Step number two, trust in the Lord. Have faith in God. He's promised to be with you all the days of your life until the end. Step number three, delight yourself in the Lord through singing and rehearsing the blessings God has given you in the past. And last but not least, step number four to perfect peace, God said, is commit thy way unto the Lord. Now let me explain these. The Hebrew version of this passage says, shift your burdens from yourself and put them on the Lord. So David, in Psalms 55, verse 22, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So let me ask you, what are the burdens that you're carrying right now? The Bible says, cast them upon the Lord. Roll your burden off your shoulders and give them to the Lord. You know how we say, count your blessings? Well, David here is also saying, count your burdens. Count your burdens and give them to the Lord. Write down everything you're carrying and ask him to deliver you from those burdens, to deliver you from the disease you have, to deliver you from the emotional crisis that you're going through, to bring your burdens and ask God to help you deliver you from each one of them. And you will do that by committing your ways unto the Lord. Let me ask you a few questions, if I may, before I close. If you are at a place of a personal disaster, or if you are at a place where you seem to have no hope, and you're at a place where depression surrounds you like a black cloud, God is saying to you this morning, do not worry. He's whispering to your ears, do not worry. I am in control over your life. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rehearse the past victories that God has given you and praise his name. Keep praising the Lord and the miracles that God performed on your behalf in the past, he will perform them again for you today. So my brothers and my sisters, I hope that this message from the Word of God be of encouragement to you. And I hope that every moment, especially in the times that we're living in right now, that you and I would be able to just spend more time through prayer, spend more time reading the Word of God, and allowing him to communicate to our lives his plans, his will, and his purposes for our lives. So thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you. Allow me to close with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, this morning we thank you. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Today we bring our fears to the foot of the cross. And instead of fearing and worrying, please help us to trust in you. And in the midst of the crisis that we're living in, help us to delight ourselves in you. Oh Lord, help us to remember that there is nothing to fear for the future unless we forget how you have led us in the past. And today, we bring before you, O God, all of our burdens, asking that you bring healing to our lives, emotional healing, physical healing, and spiritual healing. We bring our family problems to you, our emotional crisis, our disease, oh Lord, any disease that we're fighting against. Lord, please come, assist us, bless us, deliver us, heal our lives, and fill us with your presence, and help us to never forget that you are a sovereign God who has promised to be with us all the days of our lives until the end. God, we thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.